let it go its own way. Whatever it is, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bit of a rough week for me. You know, my mom died less than 3 years ago, and I miss her. Watching a Pirate game, and Dad wasn't there. And then I went to see my father-in-law, who is not well. And I sat there and looked at him and his anguish and the people around him, and life got real heavy. I mean real heavy. And I sat down to do this message and just stared at the screen with all my notes, and there's just nothing there. So I went away and picked up the notes and looked at them, and I saw what the topic was, and I saw what we're talking about, and I said, God is so good. Because, well, the topic that's in here was last week's. It's a misprint. Today's topic is the faith of Moses, the faith of our parents. And it all just seemed to work out. Because we've been working our way through the Hall of Faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, where the author is making the point that faith was always the requirement of God from us, even before Christ. He gives examples from the Old Testament of people of great faith that existed before the law, as the law was given and after it came. When we left off, we had just finished our look at Abraham. And today we go from Abraham, who is known as the father of faith, to Moses, who is known as the father of the law. And once again, I tell you, I find it interesting that the father of faith came before the father of the law. And in doing so, we will bypass Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, at least I will, each of which will have their own verse in the Hall of Faith. Because they are the means that God uses to make Abraham into Israel, into a great nation. And it's through them that we end up in Egypt with Moses. Joseph, Abraham's great-grandson, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, was sold into slavery to Egypt by his brothers. And when he rises to great power by the blessing of the Lord, a famine hits Canaan, where his family is. And the family of Jacob ends up in Egypt under the care of the brother they had treated so harshly. Over time, the people of Israel prosper greatly in Egypt over the generations, so much so that the native Egyptians began to fear and despise them. And out of fear, they begin a policy of open oppression against Israel. The prosperous Jews are stripped of their station and their wealth and turned into slaves. Exodus 1, 12 through 14 says, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor vigorously, and they made them live their lives bitterly with a hard labor in mortar and bricks, and with all kinds of labor in the field, all their labors which they had rigorously imposed on them." Now, I want you to realize that this was noted hundreds of years before when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15, 13 through 16. God said to Abram, this is before he was even Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." As Abraham passes away, God indirectly tells him about coming Moses, the one who will lead the descendants of Abraham back home to Canaan. Now, a little background. Josephus says that Israel was in Egypt for 430 years, from Joseph's arrival until the Exodus. The last 215 years were under bondage. Now, those numbers are debated widely, but when in doubt, I always stick with Josephus. There's approximately 245 years between the death of Abraham and the birth of Moses. The name Moses is used 852 times in Scripture, 79 times in the New Testament, 37 times in the Gospels. The name of Jesus is used 987 times. Moses is a heavy hitter. Moses was born 2,368 years after creation, in the year 1,393 BCE, and he lived to be 120 years old. Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, were both Levites, and she was her husband's paternal aunt. Moses spent 40 years under the care of his mother and in Pharaoh's house, 40 years in the land of Midian. where he became the most humble man on earth. In 40 years leading the people of Israel, and understand that the first 30 years prepared him for the last 40. This brings us to the writer of Hebrews and what he has to say about the faith of Moses. From Hebrews 11, 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen, because he saw God. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing on dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. 5 times in 7 verses we are told of the great acts of faith that are connected to Moses and his life. These are the reasons he's in the hall of faith. This morning I will look at the first one, the place where faith begins. The faith of Moses' parents. Remember, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Raising up a child in faith. This is the part of faith that we seldom mention. The faith is taught to us by those who have raised us. Be sure, the experience does vary. And the truth found in Luke 12:48 applies as much here as it does anywhere in life. To whom much is given, much is expected. If we were to go around this room and each of us was to share about their spiritual upbringing, we would surely find a wide and varied set of experiences. Some of our parents were practically biblical scholars. Others couldn't find a Bible in the house if their life or soul depended on it. Some of our parents took us to church every week. Some of us made sure we went to church every week. Some of us brought us through the doors of the church on Easter, Christmas, weddings, and funerals, and some of us not at all. Some of us had parents whose moral compass always pointed towards God, recognizing his authority to direct our lives for right and wrong. Other of us had parents with a moral compass that pointed straight to their own hearts. And while they may have talked of God, they never acknowledged him with their actions. Some of us had parents whose moral compass was completely broken. And the only hindrance to their will and to their desire was the fear of getting caught. Some of us learned forgiveness, care for others, honesty, hospitality, and the concept of equality from our parents. And some of us learned the complete opposite. No matter what our parents taught us about faith, most of what we learned from them on the topic was by example, not so much by word. As children, we were in the unique position to see if the life of our parents matched their words. When things got tough, did they trust God? Was there fear and anxiety when matters were taken from their hands? When the situation demanded sacrifice, when what they claimed to believe came to the point where it cost them something, did they pay the price with a peaceful and determined heart? How much did they truly believe the truth they proclaimed? These things are taught without a word being spoken. These things are taught by a look in the eye and by the calm or anxiety that we cannot mask. These are the things our parent taught us without conscious effort, without intent. Throughout Scripture, we see that God ordained certain persons to be born to certain parents. When God told people they were going to have a child and that the child had a certain destiny for the kingdom of God, it is telling us that God has consciously chosen the people who will raise this particular soul. He is giving the child much because he is expecting much from the child, especially when it comes to faith. These people, when they were born and lived their lives, were not righteous and faithful men because they happened to be born to righteous and faithful parents, but rather because such parents were chosen by God for the task of raising them to be righteous, faithful, and used by God. Now Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. Teach them progressively by word and example. Take the responsibility for the spiritual and moral foundation. Do all that you can to show them the truth. Recognize and value the responsibility that God has given you with that child. Do all that you can in faith, and then trust that what you taught them that was right will overwhelm the things that you taught them that were wrong. The goal is stated: to have them enter the world of adulthood spiritually prepared for it, so that they would know the way to go spiritually and then go there, so they would have the wisdom to know and the faith to do the will of God. Now I've come to the point where I only have one true desire for my children: that they rise up beyond what I taught them and become more than what I am spiritually. That they learn from my triumphs and they learn from my failures, because I've given them plenty. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. Man, do I understand it now. The writer of the Hall of Faith includes Moses' parents in his triumph of faith. They are recognized as the genesis of his faith. Hebrews 11:23, remember it says, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And one of the hallmarks of faith is the lack of fear. And what was the king's edict? From Exodus 1:22, the Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. They had no fear of the girls, but they were worried about the boys. Moses wasn't kept from Pharaoh's harm by his faith. That's not what the verse says. He was kept from harm by the faith of his parents. Faith that empowered them to defy the command of the king, at what I assume was great risk to their own selves and to their other children. Such commands were backed by sanctions. They were not suggestions. It said they did this because they saw that the child was special, was beautiful. This isn't a note about physical appearance, but a statement about a recognition of God's presence with him. The NIV puts it, no ordinary child, as if there was such a thing. Scripture doesn't indicate that God told them that Moses would be special, but it does tell us that they recognized it when they saw it, as did everyone else who saw Moses, including Pharaoh's daughter. Scripture says that they had faith to do all that they could do. Faith to use their abilities. They hid a newborn baby for 3 months. Think about it. They cry so much that I hid from mine for 3 months. I assume that Amram and Jochebed, his parents, as slaves, did not live in a spacious estate. I assume that as slaves, they lived close to proximity to each other. So close it would be next to impossible to conceal a newborn's presence without a Herculean effort. Then, when their efforts and abilities could do no more, they had the faith to put what they loved into God's hands, because what they could do could not fix it. And we all come to that place with our children. Exodus 2:3, but when she could hide him no longer, she put him in a wicker basket and covered it with pitch and tar. And she put the child in and set it among the reeds by the banks of the Nile. All of our children are destined for the river of life, the flow of life that will take them away from us and onto their own personal journey. With Moses, we see the two most extreme possibilities: either being cast out helpless into a current by the cruelties of this world to perish, or being prepared for it and placed among the reeds by the faith of our parents. Faith demands and demanded that they let Moses go. They had done all that they could, more than most. But the time comes when you have to return the one you were given to the one who gave them to you. Some time ago, I told you that the hardest thing to trust God with, the hardest thing to have faith for, is the thing that you love the most. Jochebed wasn't abandoning her child to chance. She was placing him into the hands of God. Her hope wasn't in wicker and tar, but in the love and power of God. What she cast upon the water in faith came back to her, as Ecclesiastes 11:1 says it will. And as Luke 6:38 states, what she gave to God was returned to her lap. That's what Luke says, returned to your lap in good measure, pressed on, shaken together, and running over by the Lord. Exodus 2:4-10. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the Nile with her maids walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket on the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. She opened it, and she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, and don't lose sight of what's happening here. His sister standing on the side, Pharaoh's daughter picks up the baby, and she comes down and says to him, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Now, Jewish tradition states that they tried to nurse the child with an Egyptian nurse, and it wouldn't take. So then she comes up and says, "Hey, I can go get a Hebrew." The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother, went and got her own mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." This mother's child was not only saved by the very people who wanted to kill him, he is returned safely to her lap by them. And she was paid to do what she had done for 3 months without pay and at great risk to her own life. And also, don't lose sight of the fact that both Miriam, who's probably in her early teens, and Aaron, who is probably a young child at this time, his sister and brother, are witnesses to the faith of their parents. And it has an impact on them as they grow into a prophetess of the Lord and the first high priest of Israel. The faith of Amram and Jochebed molded more than the life of Moses. It is believed that Moses remained in the state-sponsored care of his parents for 12 years, the years that formed the foundation of his emotions, his intellect, and his faith. Now, the final act of faith of Moses' parents came when they turned him back over to the Egyptians. When they sent him out into the world, they trusted that what they had taught him about God in those 12 years would not depart from him, just as Scripture says. When they put Moses in the river, they trusted God to keep him safe. When they turned him over to the house of Pharaoh, they trusted the truth of God that they had taught him to keep him safe. And this is hard to do. They trusted the power of the word of God that they had told him and instructed him with. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God, and Moses had heard the word of God from them. Once again, they had done all that they could and should do. Now was time for faith, and faith alone. Now, Jewish tradition indicates that Moses was trained in military tactics, and he was considered a great warrior among the Egyptians. He also received an education that was unparalleled anywhere in the world. So through these events, he ended up going to both West Point and Harvard for free. For 40 years, Moses lived and thrived in the world of men. But the knowledge of God, which was taught to him by his parents, never left his heart. And in the Lord's time, Moses became the voice of God to the world and the deliverer of God's people. This is why Moses told God's people the following. From Deuteronomy 6:4-9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." What he's saying is love God like he loves you. And then he said, "These words, which I command you today, shall be on your heart." What words? Love the Lord your God. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be frontals to your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." You shall teach them to your sons. As I stated, I know that not all of us have had parents who have laid a foundation that faith can firmly stand on. What we cannot learn from comparison, perhaps we can learn from contrast. I know this. God does not judge us by the cards we hold, but how we play the hand he dealt us. The final choice of faith remains ours, no matter what our parents were or what their faith was. But part of faith is facing and admitting your own failures, and then accepting the grace of God for forgiveness and change. It is never too late. It is never too late. When the time is right, when you are right, teach your children this part of faith. Tell them about your failures so that their failures won't crush them when they come, and they will come. Teach them to count it all joy through faith, and they will have faith for all things. What were you going to do with your child today? No matter how old you are right now or how old they are, that is more important than this. When it comes to faith, it is never too late, and you never grow old. You just grow bold, just as Moses did. Amen.